Okay, welcome everybody to A Course in Miracles. I was just explaining to Holly that we're going to discuss something tonight we've never discussed in depth. It's a topic that we've skirted over in our other meetings because the word showed up, and but we were on something else, some other forgiveness or holy brother or guilt or some other topic always seemed to be more pressing than this particular topic we're going to talk about tonight. This is kind of a high arching discussion. In other words, remember I was telling you that this particular section, maybe more than others, teaches at several different levels. And this is one of the higher levels that we're going to approach to try to discuss. And the topic that we're going to look at is creation. What the heck is creation? How would creation fit into your spiritual journey? How would creation have meaning in a world that is so corrupt with separation and chaos, and everything here is punctuated by first sickness and then death? Even Jesus died. Buddha died. Sargadatta died, throat cancer. Oh, how did creation fit into your spiritual journey? How could it even be in this book that's really dealing with you waking up from your body, getting off of your addiction to being the poor victim that the world continues to teach that you are? Of course, anytime that you're on a journey, it's nice to lift your head a little bit and look at the horizon. Anytime that you're on, especially a long journey where there's a lot of details and some hard passages, it's really helpful to maybe know, where am I even going? Why am I doing this? Is this even worthwhile? We might touch on that tonight. You might get a sense of the big picture that's beyond your body, maybe. So let's dig in. For starters, let's all kind of arrive at the meeting. Let's spend a few minutes. And what I'd like you to be thinking about, I'll walk you through it a little bit. But A Course in Miracles states very clearly that there is no creations. There are no creations here on this level. There are no creations with a capital C for sure here in time and space where you think you are. Maybe that's not hard for you to believe because you've been studying this book and other spiritual material for a while. And the ephemeral nature of everything, even if you're a physicist and you've studied sciences and you know that absolutely every molecule on this planet was on another planet before it was on this planet. It's all been recycled. Every atom has come from another star system like ours that grew and lived and then died, and then the sun went supernova and blew up and scattered the atoms around. They recoalesced into a nebula and it came tighter, and the boom, there's the Earth. Is that true, Dr. Day?
You have it spot on, sir. That was it.
It's all recycled. So, and it was what has happened. You can predictably do the math. It will happen again. Every atom. So this is not. This is not what you would call truth. What you see with your eyes cannot be truth, cannot be love, cannot be the definition of God, because for one simple fact, it is not eternal. not in its form that you see. Therefore, it's not qualified. And yet here you are in a book that has the word eternal all over it. That means it's giving you an invitation to go beyond the limited, where your body lives and laughs and then cries, suffers, and dies. All of them. All of them. Even here, because of what you actually are, and now we move to a spiritual discussion, you have the ability to open another eye. You can have spiritual vision with your mind. Your brain will argue with it. But then any spiritual journey requires you to take some non-linear steps. But in those steps, you get a little glimmer of a light that your eyes, your body's eyes, could never show you. You get a lightning of your heart that seems to have a depth and a permanence that nothing in the world could afford. This is what we call the peace of God. Just code. We say God. Just code for the truth. For the eternal. For creation. So, let's take a few minutes. Let's have you think about accessing a part of your mind that is still connected to the source of everything eternal. That's what we're going to do. Let's take a little journey together. Call your body to attention. It is always eager to serve whatever you think. And now I'd like you to think about holding your body at attention in a way, comfortably, so that your mind can explore without having to care and think about the body for a moment. The reason why I say attention is because when you make yourself comfortable, like in a Zazen pose or a lotus or sit comfortably in the chair so that you're ready to sit for a few minutes. The reason why that's important is because it's a mini devotion. It's a little miniature devotion that you're going to use your body to serve your mind. That's why it's important to have to sit in such a way as to surrender any activity of the body comfortably enough to sit there for minutes and minutes, maybe even a lot of minutes, as a little devotion. It's a signal to the rest of you, to all of you, that your body is going into service of your mind. We do that now. And what you're really doing by calling your body to sit is you're using your brain to go still, to agree, to put the hands and the feet and the spine and whatever, to go still. That's your brain is making commands of the physical body. And the brain serves as a bridge for your consciousness to go from your body, which is normally doing all the things it does all day long. It's a bridge now, your brain, to open your mind, to allow you to open the experience of your mind. This is why a little devotion like sitting is worthwhile. So the brain serves now as a bridge between your body and your mind. Let's go together now. The brain is offering itself as a portal, a door, a bridge, where all the consciousness that you normally use, looking and hearing and sitting and feeling with your body, it's offering all those pathways in a little devotion to allow the mind now to be a bit more free. Let us go together to this freedom in mind. And as your brain offers this stillness, your attention naturally turns inward. Even if you envision going outward, the truth is you're going inward to the source of your experience. Your mind. Your brain is comfortable now. It has the body handled for a few minutes. You let go of association with the body. It's comfortable. It's fine. The brain says, go ahead. I got this covered. And now, with your mind, which is beyond your brain, you move your travel. Feel that free, dimensionless, sizeless, shapeless space where you abide as mind. The body is seeming very, very small now compared to how expansive and free you feel in just your mind. Notice the temptation to see colors and shapes that are just not recognizable. It's interesting. Feel the freedom. And now recognize that this freedom, this light energy of mind that really is beyond words, this mind experience is an activation of spirit. Mind has its home in spirit. Your brain has its home in your body. Your mind has its home in spirit. Your mind gets its power from spirit. There is nothing you cannot do. You're so free in spirit as mind activating the infinite power and lightness and creativity of spirit. It is a dance to the most wonderful music. The mind, the thoughts that you would almost have in your simple freedom of just experiencing mind. It's a dance of life itself and light. Completely beyond words, but certainly free would be among them. And now turn your energy back to that little itty bitty body. How are you possibly going to squeeze back into that? In time and space and age and food and sleep and, oh, I don't know, but let's go anyway because we have a meeting to enjoy. Feel yourself now going back toward your body, that little thing. It's so small now. Suck it up, suck it in, and spill back into the body. There's so much we have to do yet to really fulfill the potential. As you came here for your corrected potential now with Course in Miracles. Wouldn't miss it. Oh, it's tight. It's small in here, isn't it? Don't worry. Anytime you like, you can simply take a few breaths of devotion and your brain will gladly allow you to go back and swim around freely in your mind as a very simple activation of spirit, not committed to anything in particular. You may do that anytime. For that is a glimpse of your true nature. The creative potential. But here you are back in your body now, settling back into the muscles and the veins, and you can feel the weight now of wherever you're sitting, and it looks like you're back into your skin. Pull up the zipper. Okay, you're back. That's an important little journey for us to take before our discussion today. We're going to go a little nonlinear, a little more toward your source, rather than what you see in the mirror, which is all an effect. We're going to look a little bit closer to the cause. Let's go. Let's jump into page 450. Sundari?
Well, you know, I always comment. It was interesting to me that for me, creation is extension. And is extension of love and light. And the separation that occurred was not in the way you were saying from the body, because I find I get most expansive by going in, rather than out, like it's more. And so like in my heart, there's this room, this amethyst ruby room, and an altar, and a flame on the altar. And, you know, going into the flame, there's only light. There's like no more body, but it's never leaving the body. It's just being the expansion, extension of light. Or love, or joy, or truth, or peace. But light was the experience. And there's all the freedom in that, but not a separation from this realm in a way. And for me, there's a truth. Maybe particularly now as my daughter's pregnant, of the other dimensionality of the extension of love manifest here theoretically in this little forming, but in fact just a symbolic extension of that into this realm.
Hey, you know, the exact journey can be taken into the form of bodies if you keep your head on straight. Because really, There's no place where God ends and you begin. And if you can keep your head straight, and that means out of separation, then you can celebrate the love of God and the light of God in every thought, including anything in this world. In fact, you have to. Eventually, you have to see everything in this world as holy. That means the ugliest stuff. You know, holiness gets redefined, and then it becomes obvious. That's why it's kind of helpful sometimes to find your holiness first. And sometimes we go away from the body to do that because there's so much baggage with the body. But yes, Sundari, if you could keep your head on straight, by all means, you bet. You bet. Everything is so beautiful. It's so beautiful. You have something else, Sundari?
Well, by day is always, you know, like whatever you bring up, it's happened for me. And the holding of that extension of love. For 3 years, I've been negotiating with Paris, France, Starbucks about a concussion I experienced there. And all the while putting my most attention on holding their integrity to want to make it right, you know, through all these 3 years of process. And so about 2 weeks ago, they made me some offer really, 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 really low, like nowhere near my medical expenses. And, but I thought it was kind of cool. And I just kept reflecting back my belief in them and my belief in their integrity as an institution and wanting to make things right. And last night sent back my response late at night, which was saying, oh, I think it should really be this because of this and this and this and this. And they, this morning, like less than 12 hours later, I receive a counter offer, which is exactly what I was asking for. Exactly. Wow. Four times more than they offered. Insane. I mean, just this huge amount. And it felt to me a reflection of my holding their innocence all these years in the midst of this kind of, you know, my perseverance through a kind of funny, weird off process.
Sure beats it continuing to attack them.
Exactly.
Congratulations, Sundari.
Aligning with creation in this world, an extension of love rather than the unfairness of
there
it all.
There is love everywhere. Even in the most heinous acts, if you go beneath them, the motivation for everything is to come to happiness and peace and comfort. It gets all twisted by the ego, but if you can see past that, this is how you can have beautiful communications in this lifetime. Okay, turn to page 450 in your text. And bottom of the page, paragraph 12. And on her debut, Holly is going to read paragraph 12. I got your mute, Holly. Go ahead.
Okay. 450.
Yep. Bottom of the page.
Oh, I'm in the wrong area. Hang on. I'm learning about the book. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the page numbers restart 3 or 4 times, depending on which version you have.
Okay, yeah.
Front of the book.
I have several. Yeah. Okay. Three.
We're breaking one in, everybody. She's read 6 pages so far.
Okay. Paragraph 12, you said, right?
Thank you.
Okay. Forgive us our illusions, Father.
Wait, it should start with the Son's creations on page 450 in the front of your book. 450.
Sorry.
The top says chapter 21.
There we go. Okay. The sun's creations. There we go. Right?
Right.
Okay. The sun's creations are like his father's. Yet in creating them, the sun does not delude himself that he is independent of his source. His union with it is the source of his creating. Apart from this, he has no power to create, and what he makes is meaningless. It changes nothing in creation, depends entirely upon the madness of its maker, and cannot serve to justify the madness. Your brother thinks he made the world with you. Thus he denies creation. With you, he thinks the world he made him. Thus he denies he made it.
Okay, so first thing is to recognize the use of the word made and create. The Course in Miracles, made is like wishing. It's made up. It's done in time and space. And then it can unmake itself, just like bricks make a structure. And then the bricks can just break down and dissolve and even make something else. It would not be a creation that lasts eternally. So the Course uses the word creation for a higher discussion, things that are eternal. Creations are like a pure act of kindness on your part to help somebody just because you can. Not because it's going to serve you at all, but your heart says, let me do it. I'll do it. That little moment, you're moving your mind into a kindness that is a spiritual manifestation. It's nothing to do with the world. It's invisible, but you felt it. And of course, that's the closest thing you can come to creations here, is that little instant when you want to share so that you can benefit somebody else equally, and you can't wait. Isn't it a beautiful moment when you want to share, you want to help? It's a beautiful, beautiful thing on this planet. The closest thing that you can have to creation and to love. And the opportunities are actually quite a lot. That's why what Sundari's talking about is so valid. The word made, the Course uses made for when you're dreaming, for the little steps that you the artificial things, the arrangements and the contracts that you make to get along in this world. Those are all made. They come and go. They've all come and gone. So many already have they were supposed to last and they didn't. Probably because they couldn't. Versus create, which has an eternal nature. Another part of the book says that all of your thoughts of love, the Holy Spirit has collected for you and is keeping cataloged and waiting for you in eternity. Good. Okay, a few more words on this paragraph. The son's creations are like his father's. That's because the son is an extension of the father, appropriately capitalized. Yet in creating them, the thoughts you would have in it as an extension of the source, thinking purely, divinely creating, in creating them, the son does not delude himself that he's independent of the source, which means to say that when you make things with your mind, like, for example, you dream up that as long as you pay enough attention and money to somebody else, they will love you. Has anybody tried that? Is anybody else here? Yeah. It seems to work for a while. However, when you do that, you are deluding yourself that you are independent of your true source. The true source does not give to get. That's completely disconnected. But that moment when you just want to reach out and help somebody you don't want credit. You're not thinking of credit. You're just thinking of helping right then and there so they can smile again. That moment, that's connecting back to your source, because you're putting your interest with them. Your interest, not their interest. You're not trying to just make their life better. Careful now, because that's charity, and the ego will grab that and say that if I make their life better, then my life gets better. No. We're talking about real sharing. Sharing, which means as you give them help, you get help. As you love them, you feel love. Even if they say, no, thanks, I don't want it. But you still gave it. See, honestly. And that is the circle of love that's honest and the one you can actually experience. It has an eternal nature to it. The contract does not. Where the ego says, hey, listen, I was just trying to help. Why don't you say thank you instead? When the ego says stuff like that, trying to defend, you know, obviously, it's turned now to an attack and defense. Luann.
A problem, and not that I don't understand you, it's that I absolutely do, but at least I feel like I absolutely do. So when I find someone in need, I want to give them help, and I do quite often. And then my ego turns around and says, now, what do you think you should get for that?
Right.
And as soon as it does that, all the feeling I have of love for having done it disappears.
That's it, Luann. Yep. That's the special relationship in A Course in Miracles versus a holy relationship in A Course in Miracles. The special relationship genuinely tries to help, but it's always looking for now the payback. Naturally, right? I mean, that's push and pull. That's the way the world works. That's the way the world works.
So then I have to turn around and say to myself, quit thinking that way, because you know you started off just wanting to help. You know,
it's a habit, isn't it?
It's a habit.
It's a habit. So that's now it's time for forgiveness for you in that circumstance. You have had the miracle thoughts occur to you that all is one and that to love another is to love yourself. To help another is to help yourself. You've had that miracle, even if only for a moment. However, the habits keep coming up. You help somebody and then this habitual ego mind says, but what about a little note that says you owe me or I did good. At least give me a smile, says the ego. You bet. All you have to do is learn to forgive that. And forgiveness in A Course in Miracles means let it go as not valuable. You let it go. To forgive something is to release it from your mind. Your brain will follow what your mind says. The habit, the circuitry of habits have been built into your brain so it can run on autopilot and manage your world. Your mind, with the help of A Course in Miracles, what we call the Holy Spirit, to counter the unholy spirit of the ego, the Holy Spirit can now motivate your mind to release the habitual patterns and stick with the love that was intended. You simply cancel the thoughts. Yes, Emily.
An issue that came up during the meditation.
Can you hear me? I got your mute. Sounds good. Oh, wait. Hold it. I got to start practicing. Versus.
Okay. Very good.
I couldn't resist.
So during the meditation, and it was a wonderful meditation, I felt like I was surrendering. And then when we were moving back into Zoom land, I felt like it was a huge responsibility to have so much freedom. And I wonder about that freedom. It's not really fear of the freedom. It's more like I really like being surrendered. And there's that. I just wondered if you could speak to that a little bit, because it's a little tricky conflict coming back.
Yes. Yes. Well, you have to practice knowing you're going to come back. And then one day you can practice not needing to come back. But it's helpful, you know, as a responsible person, you know, you probably feel a little, I've had people describe it as careless to surrender, to actually surrender feels like you're a cop out or carelessness. And yet being a responsible person, taking care of business is more careful, it seems, and responsible. But, you know, the truth is that you must find time, safe time, to afford yourself the ability to completely disconnect like that. It will lead to an opening of your mind. It will lead, in fact, if you want to see it, I can show you where it is in the book. Everybody turn real quick to page 388. Uh, 390. This is a really valuable exercise, and you bet there's a conflict involved there because your habits, you know, it's so constricting. The body, honestly, Emily, you got it. I'm so glad you said that because it means you're paying it. You're actually going for it. The body is extremely limited, really, really limited. In fact, the course describes, you'll start seeing this stuff. As you open your mind, you'll start seeing what this book describes, that in your body and in your relationship, your limited relationships, your communication is actually so guarded that it's an attack and defense scenario. And that in order for you to be free, you'd have to be defenseless in your communications, completely defenseless. And then you start to align with who you're talking to. You stop defending, they stop attacking. They stop defending, you stop attacking. Before you know it, you're getting really, really honest. You're saying things to them that you were too guarded to say before. And they're saying, well, here's what I really mean. And you'll say, well, okay, here's what I really mean. And that's why I said what I said, because I was afraid of X. And man, you just start peeling off all the defenses and you fall in love and defenselessness. But that's not what the ego teaches, that this type of communication requires a surrender from being so guarded. And, you know, that would take a few miracles. And also, it takes you trusting that there is another way to exist rather than attacking and defending and being more clever than the other person. And if you allow yourself to disappear, to disconnect for a few minutes here and there, at least this is what happened to me. My heart would grab that lightness of being, and it would come back with me when I went back into the body. And I just kept it. And I would say, I'm going back tomorrow for more of that. I got to go to work now, but I'm going back tomorrow. And I did. And I would just collect a little more lightness of being, and I would just bring it back with me into the body as I went and dealt with my employees and whatever problems we were having. But I was a little lighter for the day. And it just never went all the way back to the heaviness and darkness that I experienced before A Course in Miracles. Yeah. Did you want to discuss that more, Emily? Was I mentioning what you were thinking, or did I go off on a tangent?
I feel satisfied. Thank you.
Okay, good. Anytime, bring it back up again. It's a really, really beautiful thought. Really good thought. These are all doors. I call them portals or doors. that you would walk through to leave the physical behind and awaken. I mean, awakening is a great analogy. Awaken to your true self. It's a little jarring to go from the material, understanding the material, which is really quite linear. You've studied it all your life. It's in movies and books, and your friends all act that way, and you've acted that way, and your parents showed you how to act that way. And so you're very secure being a body. But it's so limiting. And once you've touched this light, it doesn't actually fit in the body. So a little surrender needs to occur, but it involves trust. Another one of our topics that we usually enjoy talking about is trust. What does the Course in Miracles mean by trust? How important that is to your spiritual awakening. You bet. You bet. Okay, back though to creation for the moment. Okay, so look at first I wanted to visit on page 390 for Emily. Let's have Dr. Day, when you get there, I got your mute. Read this beautiful paragraph 8 on page 390 for Emily. This is discussing, perhaps it's a nice page to mark when you want to prepare for yourself a place to surrender, and how Course in Miracles would support this. Give your mind a place to go that is nonlinear, where your body is not invited. Tim, go ahead.
Yet there will always be this place of rest to which you can return. And you will be more aware of this quiet center of the storm than all of its raging activity. This quiet center in which you do nothing will remain with you, giving you rest in the midst of every busy doing on which you are sent. For from this center will you be directed how to use the body sinlessly. It is this center from which the body is absent that will keep itself in your awareness of it.
Nice little circle there, huh? It's really inviting you to touch that spacious moment of surrender. Just, you know, let your mind be free. Your mind then serves as a bridge back to spirit, which is really free. Your brain and your body, they're designed to be limits, like a box or a prison cell. Or as A Course in Miracles calls it, your own personal private hell. Just to put a point on it. Jesus can get graphic every once in a while. Okay, back to page 450. Okay, sentence 2, yet in creating them, the Son does not delude himself that he's independent of his source. This is your creations. His union with true source is the source of his creating. Do you see the circle? That means, for example, that when you're truly kindness is transformative. When you're being kind, it's transformative because kindness itself is kind to you. When you're really kind, you're experiencing kindness. That means you're feeling it. The same is true when you're honest, for example. If you decide to be really honest, doesn't that offload a burden? Doesn't it feel free when you finally decide to be really honest? That's because honesty is transformative. It's aligning and peaceful and restful. Same with patience. When you decide you love somebody or some situation so much, you're willing to be very patient with whatever actually works out. You have no desire to put pressure. Wow. Really? You really let me do this my own way? Yeah. patience is transformative. Tim, go ahead.
Yeah, and the transformation you're talking about is not only mental, it's physical in this illusion world as well, in that when you practice those things, the honesty and the compassion for others, your body chemistry literally changes. You have a different body to inhabit while you seem to be here. Your blood sugar drops and your cortisol goes down and your ability to sleep well returns and to wake up and feel happy about, you know, the upcoming day as opposed to dreading it. All of those things happen at a very physical level for your body, and you can tell it. You will know.
So true.
Well, that's from the medical side.
Yes. Yeah. Experiential. Another vote.
One more vote.
You're going to live it. Not only will you think it, it'd be more peaceful in your mind, but then you will live it in your body. And you'll say, I want more of that. You bet. No mistake there. No mistake there. Thank you, Tim. Yes. Yes. Okay. Sentence 4. Apart from this, his source, he has critical words for us tonight. No P-O-W-E-R. Power. He has no power to create. You have a power with a small p for sure to make, to dream up whatever you want. It's like you could right now, I gave you a piece of chalk, you go to chalkboard, you can draw whatever you want. It doesn't matter. You have the power to do nothing without your source. But do you see that previous sentence is so critical? The previous sentence says that your source is your power to create. You get your creations by uniting with your source. Do you see the circle of love? The true love now, with a capital L, is inclusive. Love here in the ego land is not capitalized, and it's not fully inclusive. It's actually divisive, and you love the special ones that meet your checklist. It's so different. It does not include the oneness of your true source. So do you see that? That apart from your source, you actually have no power to create. You're not qualified to create because you're no longer thinking in unity. You're no longer thinking in eternity. You're no longer thinking in true sharing. Remember what I said earlier? That one of the most beautiful things you can experience in your body is really wanting to share. It's so innocent. It's so beautiful. It's so fulfilling. It doesn't cost you anything. And it gives you instantly. And that's a clue what we're talking about here. Yeah, Sundari.
Well, I'm struck by the sentences you just read, those first 3 and 12, along with the first sentence of 13. Mm-hmm. Yet the truth is you and your brother were both created by a loving father who created you together and is one. Mm-hmm. And there came a point where I got a psychic reading saying, you need to clear with your mother before she dies. And you know, I said, how, to spirit? And I came up with this crazy idea, which has to do with making and creating, that I created my mother as much as she had created me.
Nice.
I had created my difficulty.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Oh, and then I said, wow, that's pretty cool. You know, and I saw myself as an energy egg with a mommy dent, my judgment about her. And that was the only docking port I allowed her. My judgments of her. And I said, wow, that's so cool, spirit. And how do I change this? And I was given just a short sentence. My mother and I have a nurturing, satisfying, fun-filled relationship. And nice. The next visits, I would repeat that before I saw her, which was in a just different city. You know, it wasn't like often seeing her. And there came a moment where a whole set of things happened and she became a different person, literally. And she became nurturing, supportive and fun. It was just like, whoa. And the last 6 years, it was as if I had a totally different mother. Up to that point, I never finished a sentence before then. And it was like, oh my gosh, I really did create her, make her.
Yeah. And you continue to make her with every conversation you had since you were a teenager, probably, and tried to defend yourself against her judgments. And this is discussed in the end of chapter 15 in the special relationship, is where each conversation was almost a negotiation of, you know, keeping your ground and who's smarter, and you can't insult me because I'm smart enough to not deserve that, you bet. But as you learned, and we just discussed earlier, when you're willing to drop all your defenses, both sides put their weapons down because it's much more attractive and easier to be tolerant and honest and start to actually share. And then your heart fills and your mind fills and you just want more. That's converting to a holy relationship, Sundari. Very good. Very good. Nicely done. Nicely done. All right. I think we're going to have to push on a little bit ahead now because I want you to see some other sections of the book. But you got that idea from sentence 4, right? That apart from your source, you don't have power to create. You're just moving into using your going mind, right? Going mind into a focus of separation and fantasy land, illusion, into make. You can make whatever you want, like on a chalkboard, right? Key now in the same sentence, okay? Power, right? Power to create has been removed. Watch what's next, comma. And what he makes, that's not creates, right? That's makes. Back into the world, time, space, illusion, you know, playground, really. What he makes is, keyword, meaningless. What is lesson number one in the workbook? Does anybody remember lesson number one? Anybody?
I make all that I see.
Nope. Let's go look at it just for fun. There's 365 lessons in this book, one for each day of the year. When you finish the text, it's going to walk you step by step through integrating what was taught in the text into your daily life. Holly, it's going to be great for you. Hang in there.
I was going to say, I know because I just read it.
Then why don't you tell us? How could all these people not know the first lesson? I know.
So the everything doesn't have meaning. So like the table doesn't mean anything.
Hello.
The body doesn't mean anything.
Face. Right in your face. Nothing I see, right, with your eyeballs, means anything. Oh, you know, these are fighting words to the ego, but if you actually are on a spiritual journey, what a relief.
Yeah. That's literally what I have in the margin. About the fourth time through the workbook, I did number one, January 1st, and I all of a sudden hit me. I said, what a relief. Instead of being confused about it, I said, oh, I can relax. Nothing I see means anything.
There it is. That is a spiritual awakening.
And that's a huge weight off your shoulders once you...
Forever.
Forever.
That's a miracle. That's a shift in perception you felt with your body and your mind, and you celebrated it. You wrote it in the margin. You just shared it with us. We all got a touch of it. That's a miracle now. And now what you do is you want to work on vigilant with forgiveness and stop thinking, stinking, thinking where things mean stuff. And start living as free as you should be now that you know. You can afford now to be a little more free after that thought. Thank you, Tim. Good, good celebration. Celebration! When you see it like he did and you own it, it's like, wow! And you know that the book's got that written all over it. It's just the first lesson, for crying out loud. Sometimes I think that first lesson, it's the last lesson. And Jesus thought, I'm going to flip the script. I'm going to start with the last lesson. And I'll back it up with 364 other lessons. And whoever comes around to see the book again is going to go, ha, He started with the last lesson. It's brilliant. The whole workbook is so brilliant. It's really high teaching. But, you know, there's that meaning thing, right? Just dismiss anything that's made. You don't confuse it with creation. Okay, so now let's take a little adventure through some other parts of the book where it mentions creation and gives you some more clues on what A Course in Miracles means by creation. Turn to text page 182. Text page 182. Front of the book, about a half an inch in or so. To 182. And look at paragraph 4. And let's have Jacqueline. I got your mute. Jacqueline, read for us that wonderful little paragraph 4. And by the way, look at the title of this page.
At Home in God.
Oh, wow. Please go ahead and read paragraph 4.
You will remember everything the instant you desire it wholly. For if to desire wholly is to create, you will have willed away the separation, returning your mind simultaneously. I know I can pronounce that.
Easy for you to say, simultaneously.
I can, but when I'm reading, I don't know what. To your creator and your creations. Knowing them, you will have no wish to sleep, but only the desire to waken and be glad. So I'm going to say that again. Knowing them, you will have no wish to sleep, but only the desire to waken and be glad. Dreams will be impossible because you will want only truth. And being at last your will, it will be yours.
Imagine if somehow I could arrange it so that every interaction you had with anybody was a true act of sharing. Like the sweetest moment that you tried to help somebody, honestly, just help them with no interest for you and how good it felt. Who would sign up for that? That would be your life. You play with that little thought of infinity. That's what the book is talking about. Really, this separation thing comes with quite a cost. It's got quite a bonus too, but it has quite a cost. Okay, now let's jump to text 112. Text 112. And Luann, I got your mute. When you get there, would you read for us text 112, paragraph 3.
Your creations belong in you as you belong in God. You are part of God as your sons are part of his sons. To create is to love. Love extends outward simply because it cannot be contained. Being limitless, it does not stop. It creates forever. But not in time.
But not in time. Record scratch. Remember I told you, whenever you see the word but, you really should stop for a minute and sit up. He said, but? That's like, you know, I'm about to tell you what really I came to say. Yeah. Emily, you've chose really a nice room to have your Zoom and everything. But you have that window in the background. So what? The word but is just a record scratch. I mean, I'm really about to say what I mean. So that's true when the ego uses the word but, and it's true when A Course in Miracles uses the word but. Just pay a little more attention when you see that word. Go ahead, Luann. Start with the but.
Yeah, but not in time.
But not in time.
Forever, but not in time.
Forever, but not in time.
How could it create forever if there was such a thing as time?
You can only create forever. If it's not forever, it's not creation.
It creates forever, but not in time. God's creations have always been because he has always been. Your creations have always been because you can create only as God creates. Eternity is yours because he created you eternal.
It's a beautiful paragraph that gives you a hint about the depth of creation and your eternal nature, your true nature. And, you know, spoiler alert, the Course tells you that your actual function is a creator. You're dreaming right now, but the actual function, when you resume, when you go back to heaven and you take on your full mantle of powers, an extension of God, is to create. Sundari.
This is just a question. Like that paragraph made me think of the Big Bang because still extending now from the Big Bang, it's 70 meters per something. No, and in a way, it's mimicking true creation in this realm by never stopping in terms. It's the only thing I'm thinking of right now that continues to expand and expand and expand and expand and expand. But I guess in a funny way, separation. You know, I've just got all these kind of twirling thoughts about thinking about what in this realm continually expands. And
okay, so I was going to do this during the meditation, but now we'll just do it now because Sundari brought it up. When we talk creation, and I'm sorry we don't get to see this in the book. We only have 16, 17 minutes left, but you did bring it up, and I really wanted to drop this on you guys. When you talk creation, when you talk eternal, you're talking about spirit with a capital S. You have to appreciate that spirit with a capital S has eternal nature, its true love, its true sharing, its true availability. For example, life, capital LIFE, life is a gift. It's a sharing from source that you have a part in. Living is not truth. Life is truth. Life is eternal. Life is unhindered and unharmed. Life is of spirit. It is truly shared. But living things, they're not of truth because they obviously die. Do you feel a little touch of that? You have to have life in order to have living. You don't have to have living to have life. It's a little leap. You need a miracle to get what I'm saying. It's a non-linear drop into the spiritual, eternal nature of creation. I know we're going really fast here, but for some of you, probably already get it. We'll go over it again, you know, over the years as we do our work. Every once in a while, we touch on life or we touch on love, and I'll have the same discussion with you.
Isn't it true that what kind of life you're talking about is a life that is only made by creation?
It's creation. It is an extension of God. But key now, it is the spirit of living, not living. Living is a manifestation, comes and goes. You've got sizes and shapes and limits. That's the verb. The noun is permanent. It is divine. It is from source. You cannot stop life. You can stop something from living. No problem. Happens all the time. You feel me? Because the only way you can understand life is that way. And here's the big news. The only way you can understand love is the same discussion. Loving is conditional. But to love from the source, not from the effect, it's a different experience. I just wanted you guys to, because that's really the endowment of creation. In case we don't get to the passages in the book tonight, I just wanted to give that to you. I mean, it's mind expanding, and it'll give you the true nature of spirit with a capital S. That you carry with you everywhere you go, because you are the way the source manifests such things. Happiness, love, life itself. You are the verb of those things. God does not live. You live for God. That's what God does not smile. You smile for God. So I just want to drop that on you. Let's grab another couple before we have to close off the meeting. Some of these things are really fun. Go to workbook page 461. So now this is the two-thirds of the way, maybe more, three-quarters of the way through your book, almost all the way to the end, really. So 3/8 of an inch left, 461.
Of the text left, not the book.
Of the workbook, otherwise known as the lessons to some people.
Oh, we're going to the workbook this time.
We're going to the workbook.
Okay.
And so let's have, are you there, Jason? Do you want to read? Looks like he's taken off to go look at the sunset or something. Emily, I got your mute. Would you start reading for us? What is creation?
Could you remind me again the page?
Yes, it's page 461 in the back of your book.
Workbook.
The workbook.
What is creation?
Yep.
Chapter 1?
11, yeah.
Creation is the sum of all God's thoughts in number infinite and everywhere without all limit. Only love creates.
Now, you know what? That's a meditation right there, right? Couldn't you just take on that sentence she just read? You have to take a breath. I mean, there is a huge clue that should elevate you past the limits of the world and yet including all things that would be considered thoughts you think with God. But by the time you get to page 461, you've had some exercises on the thoughts you think with God. But still, isn't that worth an entire meditation? The sum of all God's thoughts, that's creation. Well, please continue, Emily.
There was no time when all that it created was not there. Nor will there be a time when anything that it created suffers any loss. Forever and forever are God's thoughts exactly as they were and as they are, unchanged through time and after time is done.
For example, life. Life lives. The life is this design and this movement of spirit into form to manifest and share and dance and sing and play music and struggle with the idea of more life. This is life in its spirit, in its spirit. That thought never changes. Even though the living has all sorts of catastrophes, you can awaken from the catastrophe of living and learn to love life even as it dies. That's a little awakening that happens, a little shift in perception that happens there. But there's more. Oh, please, Emily, go ahead.
That making that connection requires faith. Is that where faith comes in?
It requires a big trust and opening your mind to a bigger picture than what your little body ever has to deal with. But there's the only way you can have freedom around any seeming loss that you're going to experience in the next couple of years of your life. Something will go wrong. But according to this paragraph you just read, if you can relate to the part of your mind that is an extension of God and that's the part that you really are, it can suffer no loss. And when you do what we talked about and you mentioned, where you sort of release, you suspend your attachment to the body for a few moments, your heart will light up, your identity will awaken, and you will find a place to be, a little quiet place to go when all the world seems to be crashing around you. You cannot sink anymore, because part of you is literally enlightened and will float above anything in this world. Faith and trust. But then you actually pay it out by experiencing it and going still for a few moments and leave your body behind and let your mind expand in its true nature. It will fill your heart and your mind, as it did mine, automatically. And then keep it. That's your spiritual awakening. Good, good. Jill, would you unmute yourself and read us paragraph 2?
Yes, I did it. Okay, paragraph 2.
Yeah.
God's thoughts are given all the power that their own creator has, for he would add to love by its extension.
That means that what you're returning to in your awakening as a creator, when you actually get off of this small little body fixation and go back to your full power, you have all, not some, all the power of God. That means life and love and sharing and eternal nature is back in your hands to play with. Please continue.
Thus, his son shares in creation and must therefore share in power to create. What God has willed to be forever one will still be one when time is over and will not be changed throughout the course of time, remaining as it was before the thought of time began.
I mentioned to you in the beginning of the meeting that sometimes it's helpful when you're on a long journey to lift your eyes off your path and just kind of look off in the horizon. See, where am I going? Yeah. Yeah. Deborah, I got your mute. Would you read for us paragraph 3?
Creation is the opposite of all illusions, for creation is the truth. Creation is the Holy Son of God, for in creation is his will complete in every aspect, making every part container of the whole.
Wow, what a trick! Making every part container of the whole. For those of you who like the holographic nature of spirit and of truth, there it is. Please continue, Deborah.
Its oneness is forever guaranteed, inviolate, forever held within his holy will, beyond all possibility of harm, of separation, imperfection, and of any spot upon its sinlessness.
And Sundari, I got your mute. Would you give us paragraph 4?
We are creation. We, the sons of God. We seem to be discreet and unaware of our eternal unity with him. Yet back of all our doubts, past all our fears, there still is certainty, for love remains with all its thoughts, its sureness being theirs. God's memory is in our holy minds, which know their oneness and their unity with their Creator. Let our function be only to let this memory return, only to let God's will be done on earth, only to be restored to sanity and to be but as God created us.
And also, Sundari, paragraph 5.
Our Father calls to us. We hear his voice, and we hear his voice, and we forgive creation in the name of its creator, holiness itself, whose holiness his own creation shares, whose holiness is still a part of us.
Giving you a definition of what holiness actually is. Wow, the roots of holiness. But we only have a few minutes left, so let's rock a few more. Turn to the front of the book now, very front of your book, Sundari, going to page 44 in the front of your book.
Said every time the word holiness is there, it's identical with the W before it.
Right, that's correct. That's the root of the word. Your whole holiness. Okay, on page 44. And Stephen, are you there? You want to read?
Sure, I can do that.
Great. I got your mute already. Go ahead. Read us paragraph two on page 44.
Beyond perception.
Yes.
Since the separation, the words create and make have become confused. When you make something, you do so out of a specific sense of lack or need. Anything made for a specific purpose has no true generalizability. When you make something to fill a perceived lack, you are tacitly implying that you believe in separation. The ego has invented many ingenious thought systems for this purpose. None of them is creative. Inventiveness is wasted effort even in its most ingenious form. The highly specific nature of invention is not worthy of the abstract creativity of God's creation.
That's a nice little summary of create versus make. I love it. Okay, we still have just a few minutes. Let's pop over to text 108. Text 108, 20 pages or so to the right. Text 108. We're just going to look at one sentence on paragraph 8. And sentence 8. I think Jason's still not there, I'm thinking. Did you find in your book 108? And we're back to you, Holly. Do you find 108, paragraph 8, sentence 8?
To desire wholly is to create, and creating cannot be difficult if God himself created you as a creator.
Oh, man, it's spilling the beans. Right up there in front of the book, it's spilling the beans about what you really are. And Sundari says, whenever you see holiness, you can put a W in front of it. Well, that's sure true. And there it is in this sentence. To desire holy. But you know what? To desire holy is to will, not to wish. And when you resumed your power as an extension of God, your wills are. Your desire is complete with will, and the creation is happens, and you celebrate in that. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. All right.
Andrew,
yeah.
Something. Well, on 461, the very last number 5, I was a little the part that says, "And we forgive creation in the name of its creator." Is it talking about what we made, even though it uses the word creation?
Yeah, that's one of the places where it twists a little bit.
Okay, I figured that's what it meant. I just noticed that, and I was wondering.
You absolutely got it right. Stick with your knowledge now of the truth of what the message is. Good job.
Okay.
Good job. Yeah, we're now justified in forgiving what we used to call creation in the name of the creator of everything. It's all love. It's all an extension of love. Good job, Jacqueline. Absolutely. Perfect. Perfect. Okay. Well, that'll have to do for tonight. I think we did a good job touching the basis of creation and your internal nature and giving you a chance to kind of look up from your feet, you know, where you're so busy navigating the world, even your spiritual life, trying to navigate your path and figure things out. Be a good Course in Miracles student and a good whatever you are. Lift your eyes a bit, look at the horizon and see the bigger picture for a few moments. It has a very freeing effect. And, you know, after all, you're looking at the truth of what you are when you do that. So take that tonight and sleep beautifully with your eternal nature. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. We'll see you next week. Let's do it again.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
Welcome. Bye, everybody.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.